The Search Podcast USA Edition series is sponsored by PGC. PGC are the longest serving employer of record in North America and can compliantly engage contractors across both the US and Canada on behalf of staffing and recruitment businesses. Our turnkey solution offers a unique access point to the largest staffing market in the world. To find out more, visit us at pgcgroup.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Search Podcast. I'm Elliot Manning. Today, I've got a special guest who has agreed to join me to share some information that I believe and know you guys will find very useful. But I'll let you take a bit of an intro on yourself.
Yes. Hi, my name's Jonathan Strasburg. I'm both a U.S. attorney at law and an English solicitor. I have a practice whereby I help UK SMEs that wish to trade with, expand to, and operate in the US market. Yep. About 30% of my clients are UK recruiters. That aspect of my practice started about 5-6 years ago. Yep. And it has grown from strength to strength since then.
Would you say COVID after that, it just kind of just went kind of off the scale with loads of UK businesses trying to get over to the States?
I would say it was growing progressively over the last 3 years. And then around June this year, it really hit a peak.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Question I had for you, like, what is the main call that you get? I mean, I've called you about a couple of things and you've been very, very helpful with a few things. And what does businesses usually go to you for? Like, what services are you offering to UK or, you know, European businesses going over to the US?
Well, if we're talking about recruiters, I handle everything from a UK limited company wishing to trade in the US by itself without actually going there, to a UK limited company that wishes to establish a subsidiary in the US with feet on the ground and various offices. And there's usually a progression. Usually a company will not make an immediate decision to establish a presence in America. They'll want to trade there for a little while first, get their feet wet, get an understanding of the lay of the land and a comfort level, and then they might consider an expansion, putting feet on the ground in the U.S. I would say a slim majority of my clients are companies wishing to trade in the U.S. through their U.K. company without actually getting feet on the ground.
Would you say that's the best way to move forward before they start going into?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think you are working in a different company, in a different country with a different culture and a different legal regime. So it's a very good idea to start gaining an understanding of the way things work and what you should expect.
Perfect.
Before you invest.
Do you find that businesses struggle to understand, because there's different terms and different contracts that apply to different states, okay? So you educated me on this previously in a conversation that if you've got staff in Austin, the Austin contract should be obviously Texas law, and, you know, vice versa with North Carolina and New York. And is that something you can give us a bit more of an insight on?
Well, that does underpin a lot of misunderstanding of UK companies. And the way you describe it is this: everything you do in the UK is pursuant to one system of law. It's the UK national system of law.
Yeah.
For commercial purposes. In America, you have two levels of government, so two areas of law. You have the federal area and then the state area. And in the state area, you have 50 different states. Now, the fact of the matter is that sounds more daunting than it really is.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that there are countless number of small businesses in America that trade in numerous states on a regular basis, and they do so without a hitch. So it's not something that can't be learned very easily. You just have to learn where the law of another state becomes relevant and where it's not relevant.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Do you find there's any particular challenges that firms encounter in the US that, you know, you keep seeing more and more happening? Is there anything in particular that stands out?
In terms of challenges that can really have an impact, a financial and convenience impact on them, yes. The one area that really stands out, and this is for recruiters,
yeah,
is hiring key personnel, American key personnel. because I don't think that UK recruiters or UK companies in general appreciate the cultural difference between the two countries. Americans are bred, are educated in overselling themselves, to be perfectly frank.
Yeah.
You will have a key employee who will tell you that they will promise you the sun, moon, and stars, and then tell you that you'll never get to where you want to go unless you use them and pay them accordingly. And a lot of, I might be exaggerating a little bit here, but the point is that UK recruiters can become a little bit enchanted with a prospective employee that promises a lot. And I would say that about half of the employment contracts I write for employees like that, that client comes to me a year later and says things aren't working out.
Yeah, this happens a lot. And I'm seeing that firsthand. And the one advice I've given to a lot of businesses is you really need to dig into everything in a detailed manner to understand whether that person's the right fit for the business, because they will tell you and they will sound like they are without you looking. And yeah, you're right. They do sell a very good sell.
If I can offer two bits of advice on that.
Yeah.
One is have an elaborate interview and onboarding process.
Yeah.
That looks at the employee, the prospective employee, from lots of different angles. And number two, don't start them off with the pinnacle of what you intend to pay them. Give them something to work for. And you might, you know, start them off at a little less than what they want, and you might pay them more. You know, play with the timelines over the course of a year, over the course of months, whatever it is, but make them gently prove themselves a little bit over time.
What else do you come up with in terms of, you know, from helping British firms, you know, what else is something that they need to be mindful of? Is there anything to do with, you know, from obviously a set from a contractual perspective, like terms of business with clients that they work with, that they encounter difficulties?
Yeah, a big problem is UK companies trading in the US often accidentally use their UK terms of business.
Yeah.
And they do so for the most understandable reason. We all think that we're comfortable with the laws that we understand, and we make the mistake of thinking that that gives us something called a home court advantage.
Sure.
To borrow a phrase. And it doesn't. If you are going after a U.S. client for payment under terms that are governed by UK, by English law, you're going to have an uphill battle. It's going to be way, way more expensive, if at all possible, to collect the payment that you're due. If a little rule of thumb is always use the law that has jurisdiction. Use the law that can compel the other side to do what you want them to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you have a client in the US, you can use any state law in America.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. If they're a New York client, you can use Utah law. That's fine. It's still just as enforceable in America.
Yeah. I think it works for a lot of British firms that from a professional indemnity insurance, they need to use their UK terms. So it works for them in the UK, right? So, but if they're working with American firms on American terms, their insurance in the UK becomes invalid if they're at all covered in the US, if that makes sense. So I guess there's a whole big miss.
That's a catch-22.
Yeah.
Me too. If that's the case, yeah. I haven't heard that, but I probably wouldn't be exposed to that sort of issue.
Yeah.
But that. Thank you for that. I'm going to ask my clients about that next time that issue comes up.
Yeah, that's what I had. And my insurance company in the UK covered me for US only if it was UK terms that we were using and not the client's terms in the US.
Well, the naughty little reason for that is probably so that they only had to pay UK lawyers.
100%. Yeah. But insurance in the US is extortionate anyway, as it is.
They're kind of scuppering. Yeah, they're kind of scuppering their clients. Their customers when they're doing that.
Yeah. I mean, look, if for the sake of getting an entity set up, which, you know, can be done, you know, without difficulty, for them to then have terms of business against that entity and being able to cover themselves, it works 10 times a lot more efficiently. Absolutely. Right.
And by the way, the people you talk to when you really want to expand to America are a US lawyer.
Yeah.
a dual qualified accountant, or at least get your US accountant to talk to your UK accountant, cross-border insurance broker, or US insurance broker. When you talk to a legal advisor, preferably not a US lawyer, a dual qualified lawyer, or a lawyer who understands that this is an entity that's going to have a relationship cross border.
Absolutely.
That's very important.
And one thing you educated me on again I think it was last week actually, in terms of collecting payments and terms, I know it's not something you do in terms of from a collection standpoint, but you passed me on to someone else that was able to give me the assistance with that, but he was only able to collect the money in the state. Like, so it was all kind of state dependent again.
Yes. Litigation is very much state dependent.
Yeah.
So you can only, as a lawyer, so for instance, as a New Jersey lawyer, I'm allowed to give commercial advice on the laws of all 50 states and write contracts in all the 50 states, but I'm only allowed to appear in court in New Jersey. Now, I'm actually based in the UK, so I don't appear in court anywhere. I don't practice anything involving litigation.
Yeah.
But that's the limitation when you go to collect. So if you have collections in various different states, you're going to need to get attorneys licensed in those states where you need to collect.
Fun.
Yeah.
Jason, I could ask you probably a lot more questions and there's a lot more information there, but I would leave the listeners to guess what they may be. I'm sure they've got stuff that they need to get some help with you from. At the same time, I know you're jumping on another call, but I really appreciate the insights that you've given us. I would love to jump on again with you at some other point, with some questions that I've been asked from, my clients in the industry, and learn a little bit more from you. So thank you very much. I wanted to keep it short and sweet and just make sure we covered some really valuable points, which you've definitely done.
It's my absolute pleasure. Elliot, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And if you want to continue this another time, by all means, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Take care. Have a lovely day.